when writer and art world worrier Tom McCarthy offered his suggestion for a meeting place that was emblematic of contemporary London, I hardly expected him to suggest a tat ground zero like Buckingham Palace, or even what Cara magazine might call a trendy part of the reclaimed East. But Pret-a-Manger, that was a long shot. McCarthy has just edited a newspaper come artwork to coincide with Mirror City, a significant and quite big exhibition announcing a new generation of London artists dealing with the life-screen split. For him, the ubiquitous sandwich chain is the ideal unplace of the contemporary city, the kind of shop you enter when you want to be elsewhere, the perfect jetty from which to float into the Mirror City of digital communications. In short, the Booker-nominated novelist had his reasons, so I took my paper cup to a little table and asked Tom McCarthy, why are we here?
Well, I think there's a kind of temptation when thinking about a city or art about a city to kind of fall for this rather naive trap of thinking that a city has an authentic soul and the role of the artist is to somehow identify and express that soul. You know, I grew up, I came of age in the 90s in London, and one of the kind of seminal cultural kind of events or artworks of that period was Patrick Keeler's film London, where he goes around looking for London armed with a kind of 19th century map, conceptual map of what a city might be. He goes looking for the kind of civic, you know, cornerstone or seat of consciousness, and he doesn't find it. You know, he ends up looking in the cafe of Waitrose out in Enfield or something, you know, saying, where is the Rambo and Verlaine of today? And he decides that London was the first city to actually disappear while its buildings and populace remained intact. And if that was the case in 94, then how much more so is it the case 20 years later, when most of the city has become a Pret-a-Manger concession, or a Starbucks, or another Pret-a-Manger, or a Costa, or another Pret-a-Manger. So I thought the most kind of authentically inauthentic place to meet, the place that actually does express the kind of non-space that London has become, is a Pret-a-Manger. So here we are. It's totally fake, which is not entirely a bad thing. I mean, I think this is important. You know, I think it's quite important to think of spaces, you know, not in terms of what they might be, but in terms of, you know, the other spaces that they relate to. I mean, for this newspaper, I kept thinking of a wonderful phrase by Rem Koolhaas, where he says, location is irrelevant. What matters is not where somewhere is, but rather where it leads. And I think this is a kind of core to understanding, you know, what it means to kind of be in an urban space now. I mean, look, everyone around us, they're Skyping, they're online, they're probably talking to someone in Jakarta or Sao Paulo. You know, that space is part of this space, and London is part of Sao Paulo, or rather the only kind of real space going on there is the relay space between, the gap. You know, and this is what I think, you know, the contemporary artist or writer or whatever has to really deal with, is a set of relays and gaps. I knew almost all the artists in the show. I mean, their work, or half of them at least personally, and I'm a big fan of many of them. I guess they would approach me about 8 months ago and said, you know, we're having a show about London. And I thought, okay, what does that mean? And we'd like you to do a newspaper. And I thought, well, what does that mean? Because, I mean, if a city as an authentic natural space can't really be thought of that way anymore, a newspaper certainly can't. I mean, that's a kind of dead media form par excellence. You know, we read the newspaper and it says this happened, that happened, but we already know that. We've known it for 24 hours from the internet. So, you know, newspapers are in this kind of strange zombie state where they're dead, but they don't know it. And this is, again, this is more interesting. This is an interesting situation. To have a not newspaper about a not city is you know, we're in the realm of the double negative, and I think that starts getting interesting. We really wanted it to look like a newspaper rather than like some piece of art. I mean, that was really important. You know, we had in mind the kind of the whole situationist tradition of détournement, where you take a media form and kind of hijack it, but don't actually change it. You just change the content, but the whole parameters are the same. So, I mean, one of the most beautiful pages in this newspaper is Emma McNally's weather page that if you just flip through it, you would just think you were looking at the Guardian's weather forecast. And then all of the words, all the columns are in the right place, all the diagrams are in the right place. But when you actually read the words, it's all kind of a bit wrong. Or same with Stuart Holmes' horoscopes that kind of look like horoscopes until you realize that they're all, in fact, telling you to buy his books, whatever star sign you are.
You've talked before about Jean Cocteau's film Orphée, where they were receiving these strange bulletins from the other side, and a lot of the stories in your newspaper read like bulletins from the underworld in some sense.
Yeah, I mean, that film is absolutely seminal to me, and my last book really came out, my last novel came out of a kind of long reading over many years of that film. I mean, Orphée goes through the mirror into the underworld, which is the zone. It's the anti-city. It's the kind of negative of the city. It's the bombed-out Apollinaire's zone, you know. And he's lured there by the radio. So we're in this kind of space of death, an urban space, but it's also a media space. He's seduced there by these transmissions that come over the radio on a kind of urban pirate station. And he starts picking up these lines of poetry that he publishes in the newspaper. So at every stage, there's a relation to media. And when he's in the zone and he finds the point of transmission, they're being transmitted by this dead poet, Segeste. And this kind of committee of death bureaucrats is saying to him, what are those messages? How did you make them? And he says, oh, I just kind of cut all this crap together, all these lines from newspapers, stock market prices, sports results, and lines of my own and other people's poetry. So again, it's this kind of, it's almost like what William Burroughs was doing with media, this kind of endless cut-up and reassemblage of other stuff. There is no origin, it's always at a point of repetition and remix. And I find this really, really interesting as a kind of model that combines, yeah, urban space, media space, technology, and of course death around the visual, the mirror. In a way, you know, the mirror is not a place that reflects the world back to itself. It's an abyss. It's a place into which you disappear, like Alice.
And the newspaper is a mirror, again, of the exhibition, because many of the works have sort of direct relationships to stories that appear in the newspaper.
This is true. I mean, many of them are themselves kind of samplings or détournements or whatever, hacks, if you like, to use the kind of digital analogy of newspaper kind of typography, newspaper ideology, you know. I mean, it's very political. Media is an incredibly political space. And yes, many of the artists in the show are doing exactly that. I mean, I think, you know, thinking about these things through the frame of, you know, of corporate capitalism, you have to do that. It's very impossible to think about contemporary experience in London or anywhere really outside of that framework, which is again why we're in a pret-a-manger right now.
Tom McCarthy there, and we'll have the second part of that interview next time on Culture File, when we'll discover why art has replaced literature as the place where the action happens.